Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, for those of you who are listening, I really want to thank Matt Hasselbeck for coming on the program. And one of the things he said really struck me, Mike. Really struck me. He talked about not underestimating the value of having Mike Munchak as your offensive line coach. Not only integrity, not only his character, his connectivity to his guys, his players, his authenticity, but he will improve the pass protection, which will in turn help your quarterback. And I think as I was listening to that, did we possibly, quite possibly, get a coach who becomes the most valuable coach even more so than, you know, the head coach in Mike Munchak? Because it's a sign, and I think it's the first step, Mike. The first step, it's an admission and it's a sign from John Elway and the staff or the front office of saying, we see our issues. We understand that the biggest issue we have has been our offensive line. We can talk about the quarterback. We can talk about the running game. We can talk about the tight ends. We can talk about the receivers. But the bottom line is we weren't winning the line of scrimmage enough. And look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now. Look at the teams that have won playoff games. Every one of them captured and won the line of scrimmage. And we need desperately to fix that aspect of our football team. So we went out and got arguably the best offensive line coach in football. Now, I think they need to do more. I think a lot of it has to do with what players you have. There's no question. But a great offensive line coach can take a group of five that may be not individually the best, but make them work together as the best. Can tie them together and make them one unit. And so it was really interesting to talk to Matt Hasselbeck about the effect that Mike Munchak might have on this football team. He may be the most important hire of this offseason, which makes me feel pretty excited about the future. Makes me feel pretty good about the direction they're going in. Do I think they need more talent? Absolutely. But at least it's an admission. We haven't been good enough, and we've taken the first step to fix that. And that step is Mike Munchak, and I can't wait to see him get his titties on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
How does a great offensive line coach distinguish himself as a great offensive line coach? I mean, you guys are all kind of, they're all teaching the same stuff, you know, techniques and everything like that. I mean, let's not overcomplicate this, right?
Are they? No, they're not.
Well, Sean Coogler was in demand. I mean, this is a guy that was one of your offensive line coaches this past year. Yeah. He was enough in demand that he's now gone elsewhere.
Sure.
So, I can't believe, see, I don't think it's as much teaching technique as it is That next hard to explain what makes a great coach versus ordinary coaches is what? What is it? What is special?
Let me ask you.
I guess
this.
That goes beyond just being an offensive line coach. I guess it's just, you know, what makes a great coach?
Right. What would, if I was asking you to mentor me and I said, Mike, listen,
Mark, I don't like what you're doing with your lawn.
Right. No.
Do it this way.
No, there's that. I am the sensei. You are but the grasshopper. Okay. So let's just get that. You haven't even started walking on rice paper yet. If you know what I'm saying. So if I came to you and said, Mike, listen, I know you're taking some time off and they're going to ask me to host again. And you know, I hate hosting and I'm not very good at it. Mentor me. Tell me how to get this done.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, there's some guys will tell you, hey, man, just, you know, read the T's and flip on the mic. And like, I would expect more nuance from you. You know, a consultant who has failed and now just consults will tell you, hey, flip on the mic and, you know, read the T's and keep us on time and blah, 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 blah. Right. I know all that stuff. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, now I played professional football for 12 years, played the offensive line for 12 years. How many times I've had an offensive line coach tell me, you got to stay lower? Really? Right? No kidding. Getting impaled? Huh. Good point. I'll stay lower. I don't need you to tell me to stay lower. I don't need you to tell me to turn on the mic. Right? I need to know the nuance of the game. And here's the beauty of a guy like Mike Munchak, 9-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer, all pro, what, 4 times? That dude can teach nuance, and he can say, hey man, listen, I understand what we're asking you to do here, but here's a little tip. Here's something that, let's try this. And then, you know, to have that interaction and that conversation of having been there, done that, I know what you're going through. I know how hard this is. Here's a little trick of the trade. You coach nuance. It's not just about, hey, on this, take this step and take the, well, or just block this guy. You got to block back. It's how do I do it? How do I keep a guy from penetrating, but also keep a guy from, you know, looping back over the top of me and things of that. It's the nuanced aspect of coaching that I think has been even lost to some degree or hasn't been developed because you've taken away all the practice from the players. So I think it's more important now than ever to have guys who have been there and done that to help. You know, to help nurture the guys and help to have that kind of cohesiveness. Here's the deal. And I'll go back to our offensive lines here in the late 90s. Come on. I was a 10th rounder, oft-injured 10th rounder. Tommy Nalen was a 7th rounder. Brian Habib was drafted in the 10th round as a 10th or 12th rounder as a defensive tackle. I mean, come on. Zim, of course, was Zim, right? The golden child. He was awesome. He's one of the best that I've ever played with. Great dude, great player. But the rest of us were kind of a hodgepodge group. But you can take a hodgepodge group and get them to play together, get them to understand leverage, get them to understand how to help one another, get them to understand, you know, how to basically play as one. It's what I love about offensive line. Yeah, this is what you could learn. This country could learn a lot from watching an offensive line.
Oh, okay.
No, thank
you. Well, listen, I know you have a very self-inflated view of offensive linemen.
It has nothing to do with that.
You're now comparing a country to an offensive line.
Yeah, think about this.
All right.
Let me give this to you. 5 dudes from different parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
from different economic backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
from different cultures,
mm-hmm.
have to find a way to come together and play for one another and play as one unit. Because I can't be good unless we're good. I can't be exceptional unless we're exceptional.
Oh, this is good.
So there is a lot to be learned from just watching that position. You know, I mean, think about it.
All right.
You know, think about our lines here. Gary Zimmerman from Bend, Oregon. Me from Anchorage, Alaska. Tommy Nalen from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Brian Habib from Ellensburg, Washington. And Tony Jones from, I think he grew up in Atlanta. I mean, these guys, 5 guys, different countries, different parts of the country, different, you know, socio-economical backgrounds, different schools. I mean, all 5 guys, different, everything is different, but you come together and you play as one unit and you love each other and you take care of each other. There's a beauty to that that we could learn a lot from as far as, you know what? It's amazing. I think it's Harry Truman. It's amazing what you can get done when nobody cares who gets the credit.
Mm. Wow. I didn't know if I'd get this, but now I got goosebumps.
I call them goose pimples.
Is standing up.
Does anybody else
my
call
my chest is puffed out a little bit more?
Does anybody call them goose pimples? I'm the only one that says goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
I say goose pimples.
Goose pimples, goosebumps.
Goose pimples.
So, in hindsight, is it a mistake to have a tackle coach and a guard coach along the offensive line, 2 coaches? Because is there too much of an emphasis on coaching the linemen instead of coaching the line?
Mm. No, I think you have to have an assistant. I think it can be beneficial, but it's got to be, you know, one voice. It can't be 2 separate voices. So if you have an assistant doing one thing, you know, the voice has to be the same, and there's got to be one guy delivering it. if you know what I'm saying.
Four Down Territory coming up at 7:30. How about Paxton Lynch resurfacing? We'll get to that. But is it just me Friday with hot sports opinions to get off your chest heading into the weekend, including could we be seeing the passing of a torch? That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Is it just me Friday? Give you a chance to get some hot sports opinions off your chest. For example, can I start with one of mine?
Yes.
Is it just me or DMAC did it again yesterday? Totally misrepresented me.
Sure.
He just continues to misrepresent me representing him. He went so far yesterday as to brag, outright bragging, that, oh, good to see the morning show. Good to see Mike Evans has finally come around to my way of thinking. And did you hear him saying the Broncos need to take a quarterback at number 10, need to draft Drew Lock? And I'm like, I'm driving along listening, going, you ruthless son of a... Yeah. That's not what I said. In fact, we're running promos to the effect in which I say, this is not, big disclaimer, right? This is not what I would do. It's what I believe John Elway will do.
And they took that, did they take that part out and said,
must have, because he just doesn't listen. Oh no, they did it right. No, actually they included me saying it. He couldn't hear. Do we have the promo? Do we have the promo? I know, just let me know when you have it. But yeah. I laid it out. I said, this is not what I would do. It's what I believe John Elway would do. I believe John Elway isn't going to be doing this forever. He's bothered by the fact he's 0-3 in identifying franchise quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain, eagerness, determination, maybe even a little bit of, desperation to find the guy. This is going to be his legacy for how he addresses and leaves the quarterback position.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to leave anything to chance. In his mind, he's going to take quarterback at number 10. And, you know, my man D-Mac, he must have had his imaginary friend Gazoo in his ear, you know, saying, oh, did you hear what Mike said? He's on your side.
He just said he's on your side.
No.
How many guys?
I would still stay with the khaki pants strategy and draft a quarterback in the second round.
How many of the quarterbacks coming out?
Don't misrepresent that.
How many of the quarterbacks this year coming out in this year's draft, okay, that are draftable this year, how many of those guys do you think D-Mac puts in the Hall of Fame already? I mean, obviously last year there were five guys going to the Hall of Fame from the quarterback draft class.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame five.
So this year, do you think is anybody who gets drafted in the first round an automatic Hall of Famer? Or is there a let's wait and see approach? Because last year, everybody was a Hall of Famer.
No, I think he's very cool on this year's class.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can't have, 10 Hall of Famers are going to come out in the draft in 2 years? Even he wouldn't go there. Well, maybe. 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 If there are 10 quarterbacks drafted and none of them were taken by the Broncos, he probably would go there. All 10 are going to the Hall of Fame. You blew it.
Mm-hmm.
You blew it. Shame on you. I told you so.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Paxton Lynch.
How about that? How about that?
Sign with the Seahawks.
All right, all kidding aside.
Mm-hmm.
I got mixed feelings towards Paxton Lynch, okay? I'm mad at him. I'm mad for him because, man, you talk about having everything given to you. Everything was there. I mean, God-given talent. The opportunity to do something really special. And he wasted it. I mean, he just wasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not make excuses for him. He wasted it. That said, you know, a lot of people, a lot of us, when we were really young, were very immature, did a lot of dumb things, look back on things, and wish that we had done things differently. Are you happy that he's getting another shot? And you know Pete Carroll. You've done some Seattle games. If you had to sit back and try to pick pinpoint a place where, hey, this would be a good place for Paxton Lynch to try to go resuscitate his career, where would Seattle, have shown up on the list?
Yeah, no, I think Pete Carroll does a great job of positive energy and getting a lot out of his players. You know, Brian Schottenheimer is bought into this run first mentality and, you know, create some play action, you know, some big throws over the top in play action. So, you know, I think there's some of that, you know, you get a football rehab year, so to speak, like Nick Foles did under Andy Reid at Kansas City and Doug Peterson. So, you know, I think there's merit to that. I'm glad he's getting a second chance. You know, it depends on what he wants to do. And, you know, who knows how good he can be? But I hope that he's learned some very valuable lessons about the work that's required to be at anything, you know, to be good at anything. But, you know, the preparation, this is a professional sport. And, you know, I always say it, just because you play a pro sport doesn't make you a professional. And unfortunately, you know, he's had to learn that lesson the hard way. And a lot of guys do, you know, a lot of guys, I mean, the issue that you get into when you've been gifted by the hand of God to be a supremely gifted athlete, just a great athlete, is oftentimes you don't develop the other things you need to be successful at the next level. You just rely on athleticism. You're just like, I'll just go out here and ball. I don't need to study. You know, I'll just go out here and win with athleticism. You know, I've had this conversation with Mike Vick. Mike Vick was just like, man, I didn't do enough from the preparation standpoint over the course of my career because I was so gifted. And when things broke down, you know, I'd make plays from the neck down, not the neck up. And to be successful long-term in this league, you've got to make decisions at the quarterback position when things break down the 30% of the time they do from the neck up. Otherwise, you're just going to get waylaid.
Apparently this texter, thank you, he's like one of our spies.
Oh.
He's been listening to the afternoon guys.
Uh-huh.
He says, D-Mac says you're using the what you think Elway will do as a cover-up to your own admission. Oh my goodness.
That little fella.
I'm telling you.
I am
more than ever convinced. You know, I've gotten to know him well, but not apparently so well. I think he had an imaginary friend as a kid. You know, somebody used to talk to and... when he was lonely.
Right.
And I think that imaginary friend is back.
When he was in his basement playing Sportscaster.
I think he gave him a nickname back in the day. He named him Gazoo. You know, he was like probably a big Fred Flintstone fan. Remember Gazoo?
Right.
You know, and Fred Flintstone, you know, I think it's Gazoo. And right. I think Gazoo's been telling him all this stuff that he thinks I'm saying. He's like, you know, D-Mac, Evans is actually using John Elway as a shield to express his own. Yes, Gazoo, you're right.
Couldn't you just see him?
And he goes on the radio with it.
Like the little microphone and the wind's blowing up there in the Northeast. And he's
up there in Ipswich.
Yeah. And he's pretending to be a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing some type of the eyewitness weather report. And they throw to him. He goes, thanks, Gazoo. The weather is really windy out here and the wind is windy. Back to you, Gazoo. You know, it's a good description. The wind is windy. You can tell that I'm a, what they call a professional broadcaster.
You are a professional broadcaster. Four Down Territory is coming your way next. Will we see the quarterback torch passed this weekend? That's next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Paxton's tall.
I'm sorry. We did not see that one coming.
Smear campaign, day 488.
Oh my goodness gracious, Millennial Ben, that was awesome.
Yeah, I was not ready for that.
No. So, all right, Paxton Lynch has signed on with the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Odds that Paxton Lynch will someday be a starting quarterback again in this league?
Not good.
Like,
2% chance, like 20% chance.
Okay, 20. I'll give him 20. 25%. Here's the thing.
How about career backup?
Yeah, listen, you can survive a long time as a career backup as long as you just... Here's the problem with career backup. You have to know the offense inside and out. Like, you have to be like a coach to be a career backup. I don't know that he's willing to do the work. When I first read that he signed with Seattle, I was like, is he there to help them with the new Microsoft program or something? Like that dude, are they putting in a video game component? Like,
oh, now that's cruel.
Yeah, but it's...
I can see why you think that, yeah.
Right, that was my first thought is he going to play quarterback? What's he doing?
Or is he a video game consultant?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Anyhow, but I just think to be a career backup, man, you have to... Most career backups don't have the requisite talent to play, but from the neck up, they are... he's the opposite of career backup. He's got all the talent in the world, but from the neck up, he just doesn't seem to want to put in the effort.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Back goes Foles. Foles steps up. He is looking. He is going deep. And alone. And in for the touchdown is Jeffrey. Jeffrey was open at the five. And Nick Foles had him for a 53-yard touchdown.
The protection.
Eagles Radio. This is a nice story. Alshon Jeffrey has was very hard on himself after dropping that critical pass on the final drive of the Eagles Saints game. And a group of second grade students at an elementary school sent him letters telling him, don't feel bad and we're behind you. And so Alshon Jeffrey, all dressed up in a nice suit, showed up and surprised the kids at that second grade class and hung out with them.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Very cool.
There's so many guys doing so many good things. You know, we tend to focus on the guys who get arrested or the guys who act like idiots. Do you see this article, by the way? Another cool thing. Alvin Kamara, the running back for the Saints, has a garbage route on Tuesdays. He does a random blue collar job on Tuesdays on his day off. Like he did a garbage route. What else has he done, Millennial Ben? He's done these random jobs around New Orleans just to kind of these trade skill type of jobs. So he's on a garbage truck collecting garbage one day. And I just think it's kind of a,
why does he do it? Just to bring attention to folks who are out there doing blue collar jobs, which I think is awesome.
Or maybe it's just I don't know exactly why. Yeah, I don't really read the articles. I just look at the headlines and I thought, wow, that's really cool.
No, there is a picture of him on a
garbage truck.
Garbage truck. According to, according to this story on Tuesdays, he goes along and does different blue-collar jobs. I'm looking for some of the other ones he's done. Well, we'll keep working on it. That's a cool story.
It's kind of cool, though, right? Out doing stuff.
Doing stuff.
I used to love the show with Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch that?
Yep.
I love that show.
I got to tell you this. Real quick. I was out at Lola... Mexican restaurant yesterday in Lohi as part of our ski escape. By the way, go to 1043thefan.com, sign up for our fan ski escape events. Steamboat coming up here in just a couple weeks. And I met a great listener of ours, I think Chris, if I remember his name. We start to talking and, what do you do? And da 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 da. We start talking. So get this. When he was like 18, 19 years old, he fished king crab on the Bering Sea.
Right.
He was doing Deadliest Catch before Deadliest Catch.
Dutch Harbor? Did he go to Dutch Harbor?
He went to Dutch Harbor.
No, it's Dutch Harbor.
And I am such a Deadliest Catch
nerd,
right?
Are you? Yeah.
So, like he told me this, and I'm literally, I went, instant fanboy. I'm like, get the bleep out! And I start peppering him with stories and asking him all about it. It was the coolest thing. I could never do that. He was describing some of the stuff. No way.
Oh, those guys.
He's like, there's one time we were past the Aleutian Islands and, 30-foot waves and, the boat would go up and you see the sky, then it would go down, you'd see the ocean. I'm like, no, thank you.
Did he ever know a bartender lady named Brandy? Yeah, she's a fine girl. What a good wife she would be.
Next in four down territory.
third down.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
This is just
phenomena.
Keep it rolling. Mm-hmm. Because you got to get to the end here. This is what really makes me go. AFC Championship game on Sunday. Kansas City hosting New England. Who you like?
Can I be honest?
I know who you like. Well,
I know.
I mean, I know who you adore. I know who you revere. I know who you fantasize about. I'm talking about who do you like?
Oh, I like Kansas City a lot. I'm taking New England.
I love Tom Brady.
Based on what? They're 3-5 on the road this year. They haven't won a road playoff game in over a decade. Granted, they haven't had many opportunities, but
okay.
Their last three AFC Championship games on the road, 0-3, including two losses here.
You and all your stats and all your facts. All right, this really comes down to this. I do love Tom Brady, but I really have a hard time with anybody else from the AFC West. I sat down, I really had this kind of conversation with myself of like, do you really want to see the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl? And, you know, I mean, it's 6-1, half dozen of another, you know, bottom line, you got to choke down a turd, but at least one has sprinkles on it. And the sprinkles are Tom Brady. So I'm picking New England.
That is beautiful. I'll tell you what. You're going to hear a lot of analysis leading up to Sunday. I don't know if you're going to get one in better than that.
Nothing to do with analysis.
But at least my turd has Tom Brady sprinkles on it.
I cannot see. The Kansas City thing just. It's like watching the Raiders have success.
Yeah, no, and you got, here's the thing, you got to choke down. I mean, in year one of Patrick Mahomes, right. They go to the Super Bowl, get ready for like the next 16 years.
At least the Chargers are lovable losers, right?
Right.
Like, I'm okay with the Chargers because they're the Chargers, you know? They're just like, oh, it's the Chargers. Who gives a whoop? Yeah, they play in a soccer stadium.
Next in 4-down territory.
Fourth down.
You know, I think it's something we really walked away from that game. I think it helped us to grow. I mean, it was one of those moments where as a team we grew together and really realized how much we all got to be accountable to one another or needing each other that full 60 minutes. And I think that's one of those things that we look back on our season. That was a game our team grew.
There's Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle for the Rams. It could have been a Bronco, but we got ballsy. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Rams and Saints, NFC Championship game, rematch. Saints won earlier this year in New Orleans. Do they win again?
I'm going to go with the Saints.
So this is interesting because you're saying there will not be
the young guns,
a passing of the quarterback torch.
Yeah.
It'll actually be Brady and Breeze in the Super Bowl.
You know, yes, but I do think, Mike, I think that it would actually be more intriguing, if you will, if it was the two young guns playing.
Like, oh, yeah. No, and plus the added backdrop of the rematch, the game 54-51.
Right.
The biggest over-under in the history of the NFL Super Bowl.
I know Breeze and I know Brady are going to the Hall of Fame. Well, the question is, will these guys eventually be Hall of Fame candidates? Will they dominate the league for the next better part of two decades? Like, that's what you have to ask yourself. And I think that's probably the storyline there is pretty cool.
Showtime!
But still, it's Kansas City.
It is Kansas City, but I've been eating crow with them all year long. They keep checking off the boxes, things they haven't done. Now they're hosting the AFC Championship game for the first time ever. I think they win. I think they win handily. I think this is a double-digit game.
Showtime!
I mean, you also bet against the world's greatest American last week.
I did. All right, we shall see. What does our NFL insider Adam Schefter have to say about championship weekend? He'll join us next. Our NFL insider from ESPN, brought to us by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air, the one and only Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
We're just kind of hanging out, Adam. I want to talk to you about the Broncos first and foremost, and we'll get into the rest of the NFL, but what can you tell us about Rich Scangarello and as the new offensive coordinator, a guy that's never called plays in the NFL? What kind of information can you give us on him?
I don't have a lot other than I know that they really liked him in San Francisco so much to the point where they initially denied the Broncos' interest because they really wanted to keep him and they didn't want him to move on from San Francisco. And I think that they felt like he was going to continue to rise through the ranks. And Kyle Shanahan has a few of those people out in San Francisco right now. Matt LaFleur's younger brother, Mike LaFleur. they have Gary McCune's son, who runs the run game. Right now, I'm trying to blank on his name. Mike McDaniel, who they also think great things of. And of course, Rich Scangarello, who the Broncos got out of it. Now, Stink, the Broncos' plan all along was to go out and get an experienced offensive mind, a la Gary Kubiak, that turned out to be Mike Munchak, and to go bring in a young, sharp offensive mind who could be a play caller, who they could continue to groom and grow. And so they had other ideas on the veteran that turned out to be Mike Munchak, which is going to work out great for Denver. And they had other ideas on the young guy, but Scangarello was one of the names that was discussed that they were targeting. And I think that that's going to work out well for the Broncos. So I think that overall, they have to be pretty pleased with the way this whole thing unfolded. It didn't go the way they thought it would, but it's going to work out to be a good move for them, I believe.
Adam, you've covered the Broncos for a long time. You covered John Elway for a long time. Your sense, just your sense of how John views the current Broncos situation, is it one where he believes player here, player there, we're right back in it, we're here to win now? Or does he view this more of a longer, he won't use the word, but a rebuilding project?
Yeah. I haven't heard that, Mike. And I don't think John ever views anything like that, okay? I think even when he thinks that there's a lot of work, he thinks that they can get that work done to where they can compete. So I don't think that he believes that they're far away. Now, I have not asked that directly of him or Joe Ellis, McFangio, or any of the brain trust there in Dove Valley. By the way, do they still call it Dove Valley or not?
Yeah, we go with
we
it.
Do, we do.
We do.
Yeah.
We're nostalgic
okay.
that way.
Yeah. And so it's a case where I don't think that they think that they're far away, but I think we all know, we all could look at this and realistically think, okay, they've got work to do and moves to make. And until they can figure out who their quarterback's going to be long term, then there are things that they have to get done before they can want to get to where they want to be.
You know, Adam, not that they've made this admission publicly, but I think there was a great admission that they have made in the hiring of one coach, and I think it's the most important coach they hired, more so than the head coach, and that's Mike Munchak. This offensive line for the better part of a decade has been a weak spot, and they haven't been very good. Tell us about Mike Munchak and the work he has done throughout his career. Obviously, we know what he's done as a player, but what he's done with offensive lines across the league and how good a coach he is, what people outside of Denver, what people within NFL organizations think of Mike Munchak.
I would say that Mike Munchak has got about as much respect as any assistant coach in the league. And again, Denver considered him for its head job, decided on Vic. When you speak to people in Pittsburgh, they don't speak highly of Mike. They rave about him. And when the idea came along that he could be leaving and his contract was up and there was a little bit of concern, great concern in Pittsburgh that he would be leaving. When his contract was up, I think there was a little bit of panic that he could be good. And they know what he's meant to that offense. Pittsburgh has stabilized to become one of the best offensive lines in the league from a group that really doesn't have a whole lot of high draft picks. David DeCastro was a high draft pick. Pouncey was a high draft pick. But they brought along guys like Alejandro Villanueva, who raved about Mike Munchak as a person. I think you saw a quote from, I think it was Villanueva.
Yes, it was.
He said that he was as good a man as he's met in the sport of football. And I think that this is the guy. Look, I think when we look back at the history of the Broncos, and you'll understand this, I don't think there was a more important assistant coach than Alex Gibbs. You agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? And I had the same type of guy when I came in a league in Washington with Joe Bugle. I mean,
yeah,
you got to have some of those guys.
Yeah. And so since Alex left, and oh, by the way, Alex is helping the Saints right now. Have you seen them on the sideline?
Yes.
Shocker. Here they are in the NFC Championship game. And Gibbs is right there front and center. But I think this is going to be the best offensive line coach the Broncos have had since Alex Gibbs. And I think he's going to have, I think he's got the chance to have that kind of an impact on this offense. And if he can do that, then this offense and team will be in great shape.
All right, Adam, your gut feeling, old guard quarterbacks hold serve on Sunday, or do we see a passing of the torch?
Well, then let me say this. I think that honestly, what makes this weekend so compelling is that every one of these teams could win Sunday and win the Super Bowl. And you can make a legitimate argument for every single one of them. Just think it's tough to go on the road in the conference championship game. And I think the team with home field in the conference championship has been on something like 10 straight games. And that's not accidental. So, again, I'll go with the home teams, but I will not be surprised one bit if the Rams and Patriots win at all. They're as good as those other teams. It's just that, you know, the crazy part is if the Patriots win that game in Miami where the Dolphins have that crazy play in the final play of the game, this game's in Foxborough and I'm picking the Patriots. Okay? And if the Rams pull out the victory in New Orleans earlier this season when it was 35-35 and then they just kind of couldn't get it done at the end, the game's in LA and I'm picking the Rams. But because the games are where they are, I'll pick the home teams just because of the home field advantage. But they're four great teams here.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And just the record of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and what they've been able to do. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. What is it, eight straight AFC championship games?
Eight straight. And just think about this, that the new CBA was written in 2011. It's designed to foster parity and make sure that no team has an advantage. And since the new CBA was introduced and signed into being, the Patriots have gone to the conference championship game eight straight years. And a 10-year CBA. And if Tom Brady plays two more years, would anybody be surprised if they went to the conference championship game every single year of that collective bargaining agreement? No. And so they have basically spit in the face of an agreement that's designed to thwart them. And they have just gone on, and Tom Brady has made his claim as the greatest football player to play the game. And I don't know that we've ever seen anything like it, ever. And that doesn't mean that they win or lose Sunday. But this sustained period of success at a time where you're not supposed to have that in the NFL, I just think it's been unparalleled in any sport. Yeah, we've seen great UCLA teams, Canadian teams, Laker teams, Celtics teams, Yankee teams, whatever it may be. But not where there's been free agency, a salary cap, compensatory picks, you know, reverse scheduling where you get the first place finish and all those things like that. And so it's remarkable what the Patriots done. And credit to the Krafts and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and all the other people that passed through the organization while those fixtures have been there.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Adam, you're the best, man. Have a great championship weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it. We'll be in touch.
Adam Schefter brought to us by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Okay, look, all the bouquets being thrown at Tom Brady and the Patriots' feet. You do understand. They lost five games this year. All five on the road. These are the juggernauts they lost to on the road. They lost at Jacksonville, non-playoff team. At Detroit, non-playoff team. At the Titans, non-playoff team. At the Dolphins, non-playoff team. At the Steelers, non-playoff team. They lost five games on the road, all to non-playoff teams, and you're telling me they're going to go into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs?
You and your facts.
I know. Shame on me for bringing facts to this discussion.
Yeah, but guess what they didn't have? They didn't have that chip on their shoulder then. Edelman's got t-shirts. We know.
That's right. Pat against us.
We know how motivating t-shirts can be, like hoodies. And they, you know, they know.
If I see a guy without a hoodie on, you know, I'm going to let him know. You know, you better go get a hoodie on.
You got a t-shirt? Winning is tall? Bet against us? I mean.
Yeah, we saw how t-shirts and,
you know, winning's tall.
Hoodies have worked for the Broncos over the last couple of years. Slogans are cool.
Slogans make the difference, Mike. I do believe this, though. I do believe that they have internalized all the strife from, you know, the benching of Butler, the cornerback, to the, you know, from the Super Bowl last year, to the schism between Belichick and Tom Brady's guru and Tom Brady and the balance of power and the trading of Jimmy Garoppolo and all this, the demise is on the horizon and Tom Brady's going to fall off the cliff and blah, 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 blah. I do believe there's a rallying cry, and we're pretty simple creatures when we're players. And if you get behind that rallying cry and it helps you prepare, you're going to play better. And I believe they believe that everybody thinks they suck and the end is near and they've got something to prove. And that's always a powerful position to come from.
It is an Is It Just Me Friday, where we get your hot sports opinions. Here's one. Is it just me, but I don't get why all you idiots at the Fan seem to believe the Broncos have to rebuild. Look around the AFC. It's a mess. And the Broncos can easily compete with the teams like the Chargers, Texans, etc. The Broncos are not that far off. All right, let's just play a little game.
Okay.
I'm just going to bring up a few positions on the football team, okay, and you tell me if they have average, above average, or below average talent.
Okay.
Okay? Just which column does it go in? Quarterback.
I would say below average.
Offensive line.
Below average.
Tight end.
Below average.
Wide receiver.
Average.
Okay.
Maybe pressing to, well, we don't know because they're young right now. I don't know about Emmanuel. If Emmanuel's healthy, I would say a little above average, but right now I'm just going to say average.
Running back.
I'm going to say above average.
Okay. So on the offense, you got one above average talent position. Defensive line.
I'm going to say average.
Okay.
Do you count the linebacker?
No,
edge,
I'm gonna go linebacker slash outside pass rushers.
Yeah, above average.
Right. Secondary. Corner. Let me break it down. Corners.
Average.
Safeties.
Average.
All right, I won't even include special teams. Okay, so you out of all the positions on a football team, they are above average at
Pass rusher. And probably running back.
Okay.
But are they above average at running back?
They're so young.
I mean, obviously when you look at the position in totality, right? Phillip Lindsay's an above average player. But most of these teams that are really good have somebody who can come in and spell and have the same production. Even in Los Angeles right now with Gurley and C.J. Anderson. Like New Orleans, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. We don't have that kind of 1-2 combo. But I still give, because Phillip Lindsay was so damn, I'll still give you above average.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.